Hey, good morning, new community. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning for our online service. If you don't know who I am, my name is Ricky, and I'm the worship pastor here at New Community. And over the past 3 years that I've been here, or almost 3 years, I haven't really gotten the opportunity to teach a whole lot. And mainly, that's because I would rather be holding a guitar than just speaking. I would rather use my singing voice than my speaking voice. But when Rob gave me this opportunity to preach to you this morning, I knew exactly what I wanted to teach on because this is something that I'm so absolutely passionate about. And my hope over the next 20 minutes or so is that my passion will rub off on you just a little bit. Well, at least those of you who don't click off of this video. But let's jump right in because I can talk about this all day long. But like I said, I only got about 20, 30 minutes. And you know, as I was preparing for this message, my first thought was, you know, how am I going to perceive? Whose feelings am I going to hurt during this? Because if you know me at all, I'm kind of brash. I say things exactly how I think them, and I don't always think about other people's feelings before I say something. So I did what I thought I should do, and I started praying, and I said, God, how do I say this without being brash? How do I say this without hurting people's feelings? And church, what I heard from God very, very clearly was, Ricky, you have a set of gifts, you have a set of talents, and I gave you the personality that you have for a reason. So don't do anything that would be outside of what I have blessed you with. So again this morning, my name's Ricky, and I'm going to teach some hard scriptures to hear, and I'm going to teach them right out of the Bible. You know, one of the most common things that we hear when we're talking to other Christians is the phrase, I go to church. Or, I go to church at. You know, and at surface level, that's a good thing to hear. We love when people go to church. We love gathering in the house of God. However, when we use that term more times than not, what we're saying is, I go to a destination. Like I go to the movies, or I go to a concert, or I go to a football game every Friday night. I go to church, and then I go to lunch. So what I want to tell you this morning is, stop going to church. Now, I know you think I'm crazy, right? They're crazy. Did Pastor Ricky just tell us all to stop going to church? Yes. Yes, I did. The phrase, I go to church, is so often used as a destination that we need to stop. We need to recognize this morning that God's highest calling for us is not to go to church. God's highest calling for us is not to go to a destination. God's highest calling for us this morning, church, and every single day of our lives, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. God's calling for us is not to go to a building. God's calling for us is to be a part of a community that will change our lives. And what I believe this morning, church, our calling is to be planted in the church. Now let me say that again. Our calling is not to go to church. Our calling is to be planted in church. Now this morning I want to take a look at one of Jesus' parables in Matthew 13. And I'm just going to read that. We've got the scripture reference here on the TV for you. But let me read that for you. Matthew 13, 1 through 8 says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, a good crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So church, we see here in this parable that we have three different kinds of tree or seed. What we have is the first one that falls on the rocky ground and the birds just come and eat it up. And for reference in our lives, those are the people that don't even give church a chance. They don't even give God a chance. And very quickly, the devil can come and swoop in and take any hope away. The second falls on shallow soil, and it starts to give the appearance of growth, but then the hard times come. And church, the hard times can look different for everybody. We're each our own person, and our hard times look a little different. But if we're planted in shallow soil, the hard times will come, and they will take us out. I think most of us today probably fall into this category. We have some soil, but we don't ever get a chance to put our roots down. And sometimes that's our fault that we don't get our roots down. And as soon as the heat is turned up on us, church, we wither away and there's nothing that we can do about it. The third type of seed, is the one that was planted in good soil. And it produces a crop. Look at what the scripture says. It says, still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. And listen to this, church. 160 or 30 times what was sown. So when we get our roots down and we can actually flourish, God tells us that with those roots, the fruit that will come out of us will be at least 30 times what was sown, and maybe even 60 or 100 times what was sown. When we're planted in good, rich soil, we should be producing fruit. Let me say that again. If we are planted in good soil, church, we should be producing fruit. Look what Jeremiah 17:8 says. It says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It never fails to bear fruit. Now, Jeremiah paints a great picture of a tree that's been planted in good soil. But let's not skip over the beginning of this verse. He points out that even though we're planted in good soil, we have to be connected to a source of nourishment. We have to be connected. And like the tree in Jeremiah, we have to send out our roots to the stream. We have to grow roots, plant roots, per se, towards our own nourishment. And if we do that, church, like this tree in Jeremiah, we don't have to fear when the heat comes. Our leaves will always be green, and church, we will be producing fruit. And that is a fruit that will shine the light on Jesus. You know, when I was preparing for this sermon and I came across this verse here, I started to do some research into different trees and how their root systems work. And I found some fascinating things that I never knew because I've never really studied trees all that much. But of all the fascinating things that I saw, none was more fascinating than the redwood tree. The redwood tree is known to be the largest tree in the world. I mean, you can just see here, that's a fully grown human next to this massive redwood tree. You know, redwood trees, they say, can grow up to 40 stories tall and 3 stories wide. That's over 400 feet tall and 30 feet wide. That's a huge tree, church. That's massive. But how does a tree grow that big? You know, my first thought was, well, a tree that's 400 feet tall, it has to have crazy deep roots, right? Well, you would think so, but that's not actually the case. Through some research, I found that the root system of the redwood tree only grows between 6 to 8 feet deep. That didn't make sense to me. 6 to 8 feet deep for a 400-foot tree? There's no way. Well, the way the root system works is while it's not all that deep, a redwood tree's roots extend outward hundreds of feet. Hundreds of feet. And when they're grouped together, like in this picture here, this is how you see redwood trees. When they're grouped all together, what happens is those roots grow out and they grow into each other. And you can see this is just kind of a small area here, and there's several trees. Imagine a redwood forest across hundreds of feet in every direction. There would be hundreds of trees, all with their roots intertwined with each other. And what happens is when one tree is going through something, say a hurricane or a earthquake out in California, and this tree wants to fall so bad, its roots are actually being grabbed onto by hundreds of other trees, and those hundreds of other trees are holding that tree up. All those other trees are supporting and serving that one tree that might want to fall. When the hard times come for that one tree, all the other trees in the forest are supporting and serving that one tree. And church, without every single tree helping, there's no way that a redwood tree could survive. I came across another kind of really, really interesting fact. You know, if you took one redwood tree and somehow transplanted it in the middle of a field and let its roots grow out, didn't give it any harm or anything until its roots could take hold, do you know how much wind it would take to knock over that redwood tree? That same redwood tree that when combined with others can support and get through hurricane force winds. You know how much it would take when you put it by itself? Church, 8 to 10 miles an hour. An 8 to 10 mile an hour wind would topple a 400-foot redwood tree. And if that doesn't teach us a lesson, I don't know what does. When we're left out by ourselves, something pretty insignificant can take us out. But if we become like redwood trees and we support each other and we serve each other and we're there for each other, we put everybody else's needs above our own, we can be what God wanted us to be, and we can be what Scripture tells us that we should be if we just take a little bit of time to support and serve our fellow Christians. So, because I mentioned Scripture, I'm sure you're wondering, well, Ricky, what does the Bible say about serving each other? Well, I'm glad you asked. Check out just a few verses that I found that talk about just that, that talk about serving each other. The first one, when Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk that we should walk in them. Excuse me, having a little trouble reading today. Then twice in Mark, he records the words of Jesus himself. And in Mark 9:35, it says, "And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.'" And in Mark 10:45, Jesus himself said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then Paul again, when he's writing to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 6:10, says, "So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And then lastly, check out what Peter says. And Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. In his book, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Each of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Let's read that one again, church. "Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." So through all this scripture, church, we can see that as Christians, we are called to serve. We are created in the image of God. We are all given our own gifts, talents, passions, and things that we love. If we are created in the image of God, and Jesus was God, and Jesus was sent to the earth not to be served, but to serve, church, I have to ask, what do you think that we should be doing on a daily and weekly basis? We should be serving. We should be serving those around us. And like the scripture says, especially those in the household of faith. We should be faithfully using the gifts that God has given us. Church, we have to serve. It is a command from God, and Jesus himself said that he did not come to be served, but to serve. Church, it's just something that we have to do. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, we're watching online. Yeah, you are, but hopefully not forever. Hopefully, most of you who are watching online will one day come back and join us in person. And we cannot wait for that day. We miss you all. So today, if that's you, if you have plans to join us again, take this message today, listen to it, and when you come back, then you can apply it. But you also don't have to wait till then. There's other ways to serve the church and the people in the church while you're quarantining at home, while you're being safe, while you're waiting to come back to church. We all have cell phones. Call somebody. Make sure that they're okay. Write somebody an email. Message them on Facebook. Support your other Christians. You know, just a couple weeks ago, one of you who I hope is watching today wrote us a letter, took the time to write a handwritten letter to the staff at this church thanking us for doing an online service. This person gave us a little bit of their story and then sent us that letter. And let me tell you, church, we read that letter in our staff meeting and we shared it with our other part-time staff. And that was more of a blessing to us than I think this person ever intended it to be. Because, you know, so often we go through this and we hammer away at our daily and our weekly responsibilities. And then when everything stops and we get a letter from somebody saying, "Hey, I appreciate you. I love what you're doing. That was a blessing to us. That served us in so many ways, from our full-time to our part-time staff. So if you're watching today, thank you so much. You have no idea how much of a blessing to us you were. Now I understand that we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all right now have the same opportunities. We don't all have the same talents, but everybody can do something. Everybody can take a little bit of time out of their day to serve the people that are in this church, to serve people maybe that aren't in this church, but someday could be in this church. Now, for many of you, you used to come in person, and again, I hope you will again someday. And so I want to run some numbers by you because I'm kind of a numbers guy as much as I am a music guy. And these numbers actually didn't change from pre-COVID to current numbers, which I was really surprised at. Did you know that out of the average number of people over the past 2.5 to 3 years that we've been keeping track of this, only 10% of those people served in any capacity at New Community? Church, only 10% of the people that attend New Community are serving in any way. Did you also know that if we were to move that number up to 50%, if we were to take that 10% up to 50%, we wouldn't have enough volunteers to do ministry the way that we want to, the way that we feel God has called us to, and so many more people would be fulfilling what God has commanded them to do and serve our church. Church, if only 50% of the people that attend here at New Community in person were to serve on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, twice a month, whatever it looks like, if only 50% of the people, we would be able to serve our church, our guests, and our community so much better. Now, what I want you to do right now, this is going to look a little different in person, but what I want you to do online is I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine what would it take for you to serve when you come back? What would it take for you to serve once a month? Maybe an extra hour? A week? A month? What would it take for you? And while you're at home watching us online, what would it take for you to serve somebody else once or twice a month? What would that look like for you? And I get it, church. We all have our excuses. We all have reasons why we can't serve. Now, right now, COVID-19 has actually given some of us a legitimate reason, not excuse, why we aren't here in person. But what about before? What about in the future when we're all back together? We're all still going to have our excuses and our reasons. But today, church, it's time to let it go. It's time to let that reason go. Because there's nothing that should justify not doing what Jesus has called us to do. And I know, church, that sounds harsh. It's because it is. You know, the hard truth, the harsh truth is that 90% of the people that attend here before COVID-19, now 90% of the people that attend this church are not serving in any capacity. 90% of the people that attend here at New Community think that they have a valid enough excuse not to serve the kingdom of God. These are not made up numbers. They're not. And as much as I would love to tell you that they are, these are also not inflated numbers. They're just not. Church, can we really not take an hour or two a month? While you're at home, can you really not pick up the phone? Can you really not send somebody a Facebook message? Once we look at what the scripture says, can we really justify doing nothing? Again, Jesus was sent to this earth not to be served, but to serve. We are made in his image. What is the excuse that we're using today to justify only being served, but not serving at all? Now, I know of those of you that are still here, some of you are looking at me and you're not huge fans of me right now. And I have to be honest, I'm okay with that. The feelings that you're having right now are probably not anger. You're probably not mad at me. The feelings that you're having right now are probably God tugging at your heart saying, hey, listen. It's time to step up. It's time to do what God told you to do. And those feelings that are inside of you right now are probably God telling you to do exactly that. Church, it's time to get planted and spread out your roots so you can support and serve the community around you and the church around you. Now, one of the main things that I learned about a tree is that there's five things that a tree needs to survive and to bear fruit. Only five. A tree needs soil, light, water. The tree needs the right environment, and it needs time. Now let's start with number one, soil. We have to be planted in good soil. And I fully believe, church, that New Community Church is a good patch of soil. We try every day and every week to create a good place for roots to be planted so we can serve God together better. Number two, we have to have light. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. If we spend time in God's word more often, we will have the light that we need. We will have the word and the directions that we need to grow. The third thing that we need is water. In John 37:7-8, it says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. We have the living water at our disposal. We just have to take advantage of it. We have to spread out our roots towards the water, like it said in Jeremiah. Number four, we have to put a plant or a tree in the right environment. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Church, we have to stay in a community of God's people and make sure that we are playing our own part in making sure that it's the right environment for others to flourish as well. We have to serve, not just be served. It says iron sharpens iron. you know, when they used to sharpen swords before, they would strike them together. But what happens if you take one of those swords away? You're just swinging a sword for nothing. You have to have both of those swords sharpening each other, both of them supporting and serving the other one so that they can get sharp. You have to have the right environment created by every single person in that environment. And church, the last thing that a tree needs is time. A tree needs time to bear fruit. And you know, if you know anything about plants, you'll know the answer to this question. But if you don't, when is the best time to plant a tree? Well, the answer is 20 years ago. Because if you planted it 20 years ago, you'd be getting the fruit from it now. But if you didn't plant that tree 20 years ago, when's the next best time to plant a tree? Now. What is the best time to plant your tree, to bring out your roots and start serving this church and this community? That's something you've got to decide, church. The scripture says we should do it. God commanded us to serve. But it's on you. I'm going to leave you with one last verse. In Isaiah 6:8. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" He's asking you today, church, who's going to serve? Who's going to do this for me? Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." So church, today, let's all start our journey together of branching out our roots to start serving our community. Let's intertwine our roots with each other so that if one of us goes through something, we can all be there. Let's start making that environment where we don't have to be scared of the heat. We don't have to be scared of what's around the corner. We don't have to fear the next thing that Satan's going to throw at us. Because we are serving other people, and other people are serving us, and we create a community of intertwined roots in Jesus. But that starts today. We have to start that today. And I can promise you, church, that serving will change your life. You will have more relationships, better relationships. And the one thing that I can absolutely guarantee you is that if you start serving this church, your community, your fellow believers, if you start serving them today, you will have a great impact on the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we know what your scripture says. We know that you have commanded us to do some things that aren't always easy. God, I know for a lot of my life, it was hard to get up on a Sunday morning. It was hard to support somebody through hard times. God, I know that this isn't always the easy road to take, but it's what you've commanded us to do. God, I hope today that whoever's listening hears your words, hears what you have told them to do, and today can start building roots towards the nourishment that you give us and intertwine them with other people in this community of believers that loves you, that wants to be a part of your kingdom. God, I pray that you would do a work in somebody's heart this morning. We love you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, church, thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you would like to find out if there's a way that you can serve the church, even if you're quarantining at home and watching us online, shoot us an email at info@newcommunitychurch.net. We would love to get you connected. And I hope you join us next week. Next week is awesome. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to be showing a video called Football Sunday, and it's current and former NFL players sharing their story about how Jesus changed their life. And the week after that, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Till Death Do Us Part. It's a 4-part series about marriage. We are so excited about it, and we hope that you join us then. Have a great week.